Loving Father, we thank you for the joyful and blessed time of worship and the ministry of the Word of God, and we thank you for all those reminders from the pastoral epistles. As we continue our study on Bible and the end times, we pray for your guidance and the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Pray this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. So, we will start with the slide on the personality of the Antichrist. Yes, these three things. Before we get into that, so, as I constantly repeat, we are not here to make any new predictions about things. We are gathering data from the scriptures about prophetic concepts and prophetic themes. And sometimes we are able to draw reasonable conclusions within the guidelines of the scriptures. So, as I repeatedly say that, our primary purpose is to expound the word of God about some of these end time personalities, end time events as it unfolds in the Holy Scriptures, you know, and what we can read from history. So, we will observe and we will interpret the scripture, that is our primary goal, and we will apply it into contemporary events if we can. Otherwise, we will wait for God's own times. Now, last week, you know, I specifically mentioned that even though there are so many theories about the identification of the Antichrist, the Bible does not give any identifications. The Bible only gives descriptions about this person. Antichrist is a program, that is, even from the Apostle John's time, from the first century, anti-Christian teaching was going on, and those teachings were going on. Cultic teachings, teachings against the fundamentals of Christianity. These are all energized by the spirit of Antichrist that has been there, even from the Old Testament times, demonic influence. So, in the Bible, Antichrist is both a program, you know, it is a satanic agenda promoting anti-Christian teachings and programs against the gospel, against the word of God, and against the fundamentals of the Christian faith. But at the same time, its culmination will be a person. And we have exegetical evidence for that. So, finally, this anti-Christian influence and the demonic program and the forces will present a person who will incarnate all these vices. You know, so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in the verse 3, let no one, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And ho anthropos, be man, with the definite article. So that is the exegetical clue. So, once you have an exegetical clue, your words can be authoritative because the text very clearly tells that. So, the spirit of Antichrist in 1 John, it is all over. But when Paul writes here about the end time events, that Antichrist spirit will finally culminate into ho anthropos, the man of sin, the man of lawlessness. So, the man is coming. So, it is not, some people say it is an organization, it may be a phenomenon, it may be a movement. No. The movements, organization, all these things are going on now. Anti-Christian movements, you know. But finally, the culmination will be a historical person, a personality. A person, the final world dictator, who will be the Antichrist. So, the man of sin with the definite article. That's a very, very important truth which the word of God reminds, teaches. Now, Paul said his identity is never mentioned in the scripture. You know, descriptions are given. Who he will be, it will only be revealed after the restrainer is removed. That is, the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence in his church is removed. The Holy Spirit is the one who hinders, opposes, restrains sin today. And once, as we looked at from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, once he is out of the way, once he is removed with the rapture of the church, then the Antichrist will be revealed. Okay, look at verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 2, 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then, once the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, working in the church, is removed with the rapture of the church, then the lawless one. Until that time, nobody will know. People will make, so many new theories about who the Antichrist is. We looked at some of the imaginations of the people down through the centuries, even now. You know, even with the Ukraine war, new theories are coming. Don't give any value to those things. Then the man of sin will be revealed. He will be revealed only then. His identity, will be revealed. Who he is will be revealed only then. Then in verse 3, we also, Paul reminded about the final apostasy, the final revolt, the final global, wholesale global falling away. Not the falling away of two or three people or some people talking against Christianity, no. There is a great global falling away from the fundamentals of the Orthodox Christian faith. A great rebellion, a great apostasy, a great revolt against the faith, the Orthodox Christian faith. So that is also one of the signs. So then he will be revealed. So Paul is saying two things have to happen. Number one is that is the whole argument is the day of the Lord is not here. The day of the Lord is the day of judgment. It is the day of tribulation. It is the day of doom and gloom. That is not here. And so you should not be disturbed by thinking that day is here, as some people were propagating in the assemblies in Thessalonica. Paul is saying that day is not here. The reason is a final revolt has to happen. Apostasy has to happen. The man of sin has to appear. And the restrainer has to be removed. These are the accompanying things that should go before the day of the Lord comes. And before that, the rapture should definitely happen. Now, one more very important exegetical clue in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is the three mention, the three repetition of the word revealed. So, in verse 3, the last part, and the man of sin is revealed. Okay? And then in verse 6, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Then, one more time, verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed. So, it is the word apocalypto. It is the word, related word about the book of Revelation, apocalypsis. In chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, the Lord Jesus is revealed. So it is an unveiling, an uncovering, somebody appearing on the stage. Visibly, everybody can see who that person is. So the same word that is used for the second coming of Christ is also used for the appearance of the Antichrist on the world scene. publicly, visibly, dramatically, ostensibly, and shaking the entire world, this man will be revealed. What a powerful statement. So once you have this information from the scripture, then you will not be carried away, as we read from Ephesians 4 during the ministry time. You will not be carried away by every wind of doctrine. You will be able to make a very good educated, biblically educated evaluation of what you are hearing and reading. So he will be revealed only then. Only at that time we will know who he is. He may be living today. He may be one of the great world leaders today. Maybe one of the great scientists, one of the great politicians. We do not know. But he will be revealed only then. So by the time we will be gone. Now, we looked at several names he has, about three important things about his personality. There are many things that can be added, but three things stand out. Number one, he will be a charismatic leader. Now, I would like to read, there are several verses, but I will read a couple of verses. The first one is from Daniel chapter 7. Some biblical clues about his personality. Daniel 7, to save time, I know those of who are noting these verses, you can read the entire two verses, but the end of it, and a mouth speaking pompous words, or literally great things. So he will be a man who will be speaking great things about himself, pompous words. Now, the same chapter, Daniel 7's prophecy about the four major world empires and the last ruler of the fourth empire, the revived Roman Empire. So in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, reading from verse 24, the ten horns are the ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, that is the fourth kingdom, the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire will be revived again, and there will 10 nation federation will come out of that. Probably we see that in the formation of the European Union. And in the European Union, 10 nations will become stronger, and they will form a strong confederation of nations controlling affairs primarily in Europe and then all around the world. Now, just my own educated guess about the Ukraine war, I believe that this war will make Europe more unified and more strong and powerful. Is that a fulfillment of any prophecy? I don't say that, but it is preparing for these events. Europe has to be strong at the end. So certain events are coming, happening every now and then, specifically to strengthen the unity and the harmony and the power of Europe. So it is no more the United States of America, it will be the United States of Europe. So probably in the end time prophecy, we do not read anything about the United States of America, because United States of America may become weaker and weaker as days go by, and the United States of Europe may become stronger, and the United States of America may have only a supportive role with the United States of Europe, just joining with them as a strong Western Federation of Nations. So what is happening in the world and in Europe today is probably making Europe stronger and stronger. So verse 24, Daniel 7, the ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, the Roman kingdom, the revived Roman kingdom. Then, and another shall arise after them. he shall be different from the first one. So the final ruler, the final king who will arise will be very different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words, great things against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hands for a time and times and half a time. So 3.5 years, the great tribulation will be controlled by the Antichrist. He will persecute the saints of the Most High during that time. And he will try to control everything. He shall be different from the first, from all the previous king. He shall speak pompous words. So, from this, I want to draw some reasonable conclusion that the Antichrist will be a charismatic leader. You know, his personality will be enhanced by his speaking ability and communication skill. Great eloquence and golden-tongued orator, man of charisma, pomp and oratory. So I believe those are some of the clues we get from the descriptions given in the scripture, even though we do not know who that person is right now. He will be a man speaking pompous words, great things, great charisma, oratory, golden-tongued orator. And he will, you know, thrill everyone with his charismatic personality and communication skill. He will be a cunning leader. Daniel 11 verse 21. Daniel 11 verse 21. And in his place shall arise, another name for Antichrist here is vile person, to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue or flattery. So he is a very cunning, deceptive leader. He will he shall act deceitfully, come up and become strong with a small number of people. So he will be a cunning leader. He will have clever plans. He will have flattery, deceitfulness, and false promises. When he comes, he will not be very aggressive. He will be a charming personality, charismatic personality. He wants to win the support of the world. So that is why during the Gulf War, when people said Saddam Hussein is the Antichrist, I said no. He cannot, you know, there is, because the whole world will not accept a leader like him. Antichrist will become a ruthless, cruel, bloodthirsty dictator at the end. But when he comes, he will have his own peaceful strategies. He will try to win the hearts of people, minds of people, and he wants to establish himself in an atmosphere of peace to gain his own hold for everything. For that, he cannot be ruthless and violent and aggressive. You know, nobody will accept a person like that. So, he will be a man of intrigue, a cunning leader, a political genius, know how to mediate, negotiate, and a masterful diplomat and a very clever leader. That was the reason that some Bible scholars and prophetic teachers, you know, they thought Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, you remember his name, you know, he was really a masterful diplomat and a negotiator and a strong leader during the Nixon and I believe 40 years. So the strategy is more or less like this. Wherever there is a problem, this man will be able to go and negotiate peace and to mediate. And the word of God gives a very good clue in Daniel chapter 9, verses 26-27. These are prophetic clues. Daniel chapter 9, 26-27. This is the prophecy of the most famous prophecy in the book of Daniel, the prophecy of the 70th week, about the tribulation period, about the rule and reign of the Antichrist. So, verse 26, and after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city, that is Jerusalem, and the sanctuary. Here we read another name, the prince who is to come. Now, when he comes, what shall he do? Verse 27. This is the most important verse here for our study. Then he shall confirm a covenant, a peace treaty with many for 1 week. So for 7 years, he will negotiate a peace treaty for the nation of Israel so that they can dwell in safety, probably build the temple, and they will not be destroyed by, or they will be not be attacked by others. And who will mediate that peace treaty? He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. But look at the next part of the verse. But in the middle of the week, after the first 3.5 years, situations change. So 7 year tribulation period, the first half, from the middle it is going to be megathlipsis, great tribulation. You know, so in the middle of the thing, week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Yes. So, by this time, we believe the sacrifice and offering will be going on in the temple in Jerusalem. When will the tribulation temple will be built? We do not know. But the one clue is that maybe it can be built anytime through, you know, peace treaty and negotiations. But one clue here is that it may be the first 3.5 years of the tribulation without being dogmatic. And in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end. No more sacrifice and offerings and temple worship in Jerusalem. And on the brink of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Some very difficult phrases there. But the thing is that Jesus Christ, in his Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, mentioned this passage that before the glorious appearance of the Son of Man coming in judgment, at the end of the tribulation, you shall see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. That is a reference to this event, that the Antichrist will forcibly put a statue of himself in the temple, claiming that he himself is the God, no more Jehovah, persecuting all Jewish people, all Israelites, and all those who turn to the Lord during the tribulation time, saying that I am the God, my seal, my worship, my authority. If you don't bow down, your heads will be chopped off. Abomination of desolation, standing on the holy place. Then the Lord said, then let the reader know that this is going to happen. So this is another clue. So for our study here, what I want to know is, what I want to highlight is, he will be his subtle diplomacy, you know, he will bring a roadmap to world peace, like our President Bush tried to do. And during Jimmy Carter's Camp David Accord, Bill Clinton shuttle diplomacy all for the Middle East crisis. So the Middle East, all the US presidents have tried their best to bring peace to the Middle East. That is a perpetual headache in world politics. So bringing a world peace depends upon peace in the Middle East. So somehow or other, help the nation Israel to dwell in safety. So that is why when a new US president is inaugurated, his first concern is how to bring peace between Palestinians and the Arabs and the Israelites and the Jewish state. So all the people, all the famous US presidents have tried to resolve this, but it has not been finally resolved. So I believe, my understanding is that this man, when he comes to the world scene, when he knows that if this can be mediated, he will win the applause of the world. Nobody could do that all these years. I am here. He will negotiate a peace treaty with my people. But in the middle of the week, he will violate that treaty. He will end that. He will cancel. No more treaty with you. No more peace. We are going to conquer Jerusalem. So, he will be a cunning leader. And the third one, he will be a cruel leader. He will devour the whole earth, persecuting the saints. We read that in chapter, in couple of verses already, that in chapter 7 and verse 23, verse chapter 7 verse 23, Daniel, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have, chapter 7 verse 23, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. So in the book of Revelation chapter 13, which is devoted to the description of Antichrist also, there we read about his global authority, and he will persecute the people of God. The word persecute, you know, let me read that verse, chapter 7, verse 25. Daniel, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High. The word translated and also in the book of Revelation, persecute, literally means he will wear out. That is, a word indicates torture, a slow, painful, tortural, cruel persecution against God's people. Like in the Nazi concentration camp, he will be a cruel, blood-shedding leader. Take his wrath on the tribulation saints. And his charisma will finally give way to cruelty. So, three important clues about his personality, his different names, when he will be revealed, who is this person, the spirit of Antichrist, and he will be a charismatic leader, a cunning leader, and he will be a cruel leader. So all these things, we have gathered this information from the scripture. So we don't have to go after rumors. We don't have to make our own predictions. We don't have to fall a prey to all the, you know, misleading information coming even through people who teach Bible prophecies and take extreme positions. No, once we have the, that's why I believe that our study of prophecy should be an expository study first. Then only we should start evaluating contemporary events. What happens today, many prophetic Bible teachers, they are simply reading into the contemporary events without a proper exegetical and exposition of the scriptures that give us the data about these matters. That has to be clearly learned. Then in the light of that, we can draw some conclusions. So that is this very important figure who will come on the world stage, Antichrist. We will look in more into more details about this person, Antichrist, in our coming study. Shall we close in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you that we have a blessed hope, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the rapture, our blessed hope, comforting hope, and we look forward to that day. Father, we have been studying about things which will happen upon this earth, terrible days of tribulation and judgment and doom and gloom, when the day of the Lord will set in on an unbelieving world that will be ruled by a dictator, a monstrous and a cruel dictator. We thank you that the day of grace is open today, and we pray that as the gospel is preached in many, many parts of the world, many people may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The world who rejects the true Christ of God will be forced to accept the Antichrist of Satan. Let that be a warning to the world as people hear the gospel. Thank you for your word and the information and the illumination over the word, and pray that thou may keep us humble, faithful stewards of the manifold grace of God in our lives. Send us now with your blessings. We pray this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.